I want to say to you that I'm grateful to be the pastor here. I'm very thankful for that. I don't know how many years it's been that almost every Sunday, I never want to say all or never or always, almost every Sunday, just driving here, I have a sense of expectation of the Lord's presence being with us. And I can tell you, I have been in churches where that is not true. That is not true. And I am grateful that God comes to be with us every Sunday. Amen. Every Sunday, God comes to be with us. I'm sorry, I'm a little overwhelmed by His Spirit this morning. I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be here. The birth of Christ, notwithstanding, because I feel like you can't say, as a Christian, that you have any favorite holiday. If it's not Christmas or Easter, then you're either a backslider or a liar. So I want you to know that I have not departed the faith of my youth. I will say, Christmas and Easter notwithstanding, my favorite holiday is rapidly approaching. It is a time for family and friends to come together. I'm excited this year because we'll have friends coming. It's a time for family and friends to come together and to engage in meaningful communications, to reestablish relationships, to get into one another's lives again, to make plans, to figure out, really who needs what from which store, because Black Friday only comes once a year. We're talking about my favorite holiday. Black Friday only comes once a year, and if you are wise and you make a good plan and there's enough people, then you can divide and conquer, and you can make sure that you spend the money you don't have for the things you don't need. Because it's all on sale. And if it's on sale, then it's worth buying. Because why wouldn't you buy a thing that you don't need for 50% off? That's not true. I used to love it. You guys know me. I used to love Black Friday, and then they started opening the stores on Thursday, and I've just boycotted since then because I just don't think that that's right. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. And you would think it was because of the food. I'm not going to fight you on that. But I also love the people. I also love the gathering and the get-together. Here's some of the things that people over the centuries, famous people, have said when they were asked about Thanksgiving. Henry Van Dyke, who is an American author and educator, said this: gratitude is the inward feeling of kindness received. Thankfulness is the unnatural impulse to express that feeling. And thanksgiving is the following of that impulse. Maya Angelou, American poet, singer, memoirist, which means that she wrote several autobiographies, and civil rights activist, said this: when it comes to Thanksgiving, you should be present in all things and thankful for all things. Her scope of being thankful was bigger than just that one day, and for some people, just a few hours in that day. Oscar Wilde was an Irish poet, and he said this: after a good dinner, one can forgive anybody, even one's own relatives. I mean, honestly, isn't there like just this gentle spirit that comes over you? That's usually the turkey. The turkey has a thing in it. The turkey has an enzyme in it that helps you to want to sleep in the afternoon. Irma Bombeck was an American humorist, and she said, I come from a family where gravy's a beverage. Ugh. But listen, I don't know if gravy has made its way all the way up here. I just know in the South that it was always a thing. I've never enjoyed it, to be fair. I don't know what's in it. That's my problem. It just kind of sits there, and it's steaming, and you're supposed to put it on things. And I was like, I'll pass. I'm a purist. Just give me the turkey and the whatever. And then the renowned and sage Charlie Brown said this: what if today we were grateful for everything? Charlie Brown, not a person. Charles M. Schulz was a cartoonist who wrote the Peanuts cartoons for a lot of years. What if today we were grateful for everything? There's a connection, there's a Thanksgiving thread in those quotes, even the ones about food, because at this time of year, Thanksgiving and food kind of become synonymous. In his letter to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul weaves the same thread of Thanksgiving through all four chapters of the book. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1 today, verses 9 through 13, if you want to go ahead and go there. Colossians was, some of you know, the subject of our Bible study on Tuesday nights for 2 months. So these verses are going to be familiar to those of you who walked through that study with me. You ready for a pop quiz, Bible study people? Are you ready? Does your heart sink when someone says pop quiz? My heart always sank when I was in school. I was like, oh no, because I guarantee you I'm not ready for this. Pop quiz. Where was Paul when he wrote this letter to the Colossians? I'm sorry, Kavita? Kavita, how did you know the answer to that question? For what? On Tuesday nights, Kavita, who was here for Bible study on Tuesday nights, was able to answer the pop quiz question. Thank you, Kavita. We're one for one. True or false, this is the big one. Paul planted the church at Colossae. True or false?
False.
False. Why do you say false? Do you know who it was for an extra point?
No.
That's fair. I appreciate your honesty. Does anybody know who it was who planted the church? I'm sorry? Epaphras. Yes, it was. Congratulations. You all get 2 out of 2 plus one. Thanks to Felucia and Kavita, they brought you in on their success. Paul was in prison when he writes this letter. Interesting to think about a man writing about being thankful who was in prison at the time. He was in prison when he writes this letter, and he writes it to a group of people that he's never met. As far as we know, historically, Paul went to teach and preach in Ephesus, and out of the Ephesians church came the church in Colossae. But it was not planted by him. It was planted by one of his guys, Epaphras. He writes about thanksgiving from prison, and he writes to a group of people that he's never met as if they have the most intimate of bonds. He writes to them as if they were family, as if they are family. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. In the first part of this chapter, you know I'm big on context. I never want you to think that I'm cherry-picking anything. I'm never pulling something out and trying to make my own point based on that scripture. Paul just greets this group of people, and he begins to talk about how grateful he is and the stories that he, even in prison, he's hearing the stories of their greatness. And by greatness, he means greatness in the Lord. That love is there. That church is known for their love. That there is a spirit of love, the spirit of Christ himself that is present in that church. How he's heard about that, how him and the believers with him have heard about that, the people who are taking care of him. And he's very grateful for that. And he says, and this is verse 9 through 13, for this reason also, for this reason being the spirit of love that this church embodies, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Paul says by his own words that he has not stopped praying for these believers, and he has not stopped praying for a very specific process that he outlines. He talks first about the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Knowledge and understanding with spiritual wisdom empowers the believer to walk through life in a way that reflects Jesus' character and is pleasing to him. You've heard the axiom before, knowledge is power. And that can be true. I often say that what you know can change who you are. However, knowledge apart from the Spirit of God is knowledge alone. Think about that for a second. You can have the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can have an understanding of the story. But without the wisdom that comes through the Spirit, you are not empowered. It's just facts. It's just information. Take any recipe. You can have all of the knowledge of the recipe that you want. Little bit of this, little bit of that, quarter cup here, full cup there. Until you make it based on the recipe, do what the recipe says do, all you've got is knowledge. You don't have any food. Knowledge, apart from the Spirit of God, is information only. But knowledge with wisdom is an empowerment for the believer to live a life that reflects Jesus and is pleasing to him. Paul says that's step one of this process. We pray that knowledge for you, not just information, but knowledge with wisdom becomes an empowerment for you to live a different kind of life. Paul says that that empowerment leads somewhere. Power for the sake of power is pointless. There's power in that outlet. Do you know how I know? If I walk over there and stick something in it, if I stick a plug in it, whatever's connected to that plug will light up, make a noise, do a thing. Whatever it was designed to do, it can only do if it's got power. You can be all you want to be, but if you don't have the power to do it, you'll never do it. You'll only ever be what you allow yourself to be. If you're the power behind who you are and what you do, good luck with that. Batteries are going to drain pretty quickly. He says that the process is about empowerment, and it leads to the following things: bearing fruit, increasing in knowledge, being strengthened with power, and attaining steadfastness and patience. We're going somewhere. I know I started talking about a Thanksgiving thread. Bear with me. We'll get there. I know this is teachy, but just bear with me. Bearing fruit. Bearing fruit is the evidence of relationship. That's the evidence. That's what Jesus said. You'll have the evidence of relationship with me when you bear fruit. And the fruit that we start with is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-discipline or self-control. That's the evidence of the relationship. There's power for you to bear fruit. You have been empowered. You don't have to do it by yourself. I think that morality is good. I think without morality, we would be lost. I think morality is important. But morality for the sake of morality cannot be a constant empowerment for you to produce the things that other people should see in you. It's not. It'll break down. This empowerment leads you to be able to live a life that shows God to the people around you, bears fruit. Increasing in knowledge. Increasing in knowledge is the substance of relationship. One of the reasons that I challenge so hard that you guys just get involved in the Word is without the knowledge, there cannot be understanding. Without understanding, there cannot be empowerment. It's just words. If what you have is basically a veneer of faith, that there's a feeling that you have directed your life toward, I feel like it's true. I feel like it's real. I've had many, many conversations about faith and about why people do or don't come to church and the challenges of engaging Scripture, why that's so hard because it's such a big book and where do you start? And sometimes I just go and then put my finger in there. That was the sound of pages turning. Let me be clear. That was old school as opposed to just maybe swiping. I don't know what's analogous to that. This idea of where do I start? All these, but they just can't seem to get away from it because there's this feeling within them. They can't get away from the feeling. If all that you have in your faith with God is a feeling, life will strip that from you quick, fast, and in a hurry. That's why increasing in knowledge is the substance of that relationship. Knowing what you believe and why you believe it is so incredibly important. Knowing that what I say to you is true. If you don't read your word, I could be lying to you every Sunday. That's not ever going to happen because there are people in here who do read their word, and they would make sure that I wouldn't be up here lying every Sunday. But there are folks out there that if you're not careful, when you listen to them preach, when you listen to them teach, if you don't know the word and you don't know the context of that, then you don't know God, and they could be presenting a God to you that is not accurate. Increasing in knowledge is the substance of this relationship. Being strengthened with power. That's where the energy comes from. What power? His power, specifically, according to his glorious might. If I plug a lamp into that socket and there's a blackout, or we just lose power, that lamp turns off, period, because we are connected to a power grid, blah, 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 don't get so schooly on me, fine, I'll move on. Power to that socket is not unlimited. Something can happen to interrupt the power to that socket, but when it comes to God, nothing can interrupt that power. Nothing can ever stand between you and transformation because his power never stops flowing. There's no end to it. It's been before you, it's here for you now, and it will be here long after you are gone because he is the I am. I was and I am and I am yet to come. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. On my spectrum, there is no break in power. Nobody can turn it off for you. Nobody can turn off the lights. Nobody can shut the power down. You're changed according to, you're empowered, you're strengthened according to my glorious power that has no beginning and no end. That's the energy of the relationship. Evidence of relationship, substance of relationship, energy of relationship. And then he says this, for the attaining. See how he's walked you through the process? Starts with knowledge, starts with wisdom, mixed with the Spirit. That's how it goes from being just words to understanding. Then he gets into what is this for? Then he says, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Attaining steadfastness and patience is the result of the relationship. That's the result. But it's not the product. It's the result of the relationship. All of this, all that God has done for you, all of the word that you have been given, all of the ways that he has spoken through the centuries to his people, the coming, the living, the dying, and the resurrecting of his son Jesus, all of this is so that you can be empowered to live a life that stands in complete, what's the word that I'm looking for? Stands against this world, that stands in complete opposition to that, that says, no, this is the way that we were created to be. We were not created to consume ourselves. We were not created to worship at the altar of personal happiness. We were not created to create truth based on how we feel. Feelings were never meant to be the foundational truth that leads you in your life. That's how we are in the mess that we are in, folks. I don't know if you've noticed, but we are approaching a feelings-based world. Eventually, truth will be feelings-based. And let me tell you what. When that becomes the truth, when you've got food that I want and I feel like I need your food, I'm going to take it from you. And I'm not really going to care how you feel about that. Feelings weren't supposed to ever be our foundation for truth. It was supposed to be this relationship. And we are supposed to be able to be steadfast no matter the challenge and patient no matter the personality. That's a big one. We should be able to stand up under anything that we experience, and we should be able to be patient in all things, waiting for God to work and to move, believing that he's behind the scenes. That's what this whole process is about. And then Paul says that we should joyously give thanks to the Father. But the thanksgiving that he mentions is not connected to the process as the result. You shouldn't have all of this knowledge and all of this wisdom and produce all of this fruit and then because of that be able to give thanksgiving to God. The joy and thanksgiving that we give to God should be the product. It should come out of that, not because of it. Does that make sense? It should come out of that process. And it should be available to us. We should be able to move in to this attitude of joyous gratitude. Notice that he says, joyously giving thanks to the Father? Joyously. Can you see how that might be a little bit of a different modifier than what most of us engage in when we give thanks to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus, for this food. Amen. I'm teaching my son that. Thank you, Jesus, for this food. Amen. We're teaching him young because we want to begin to make the connection that even the food that he eats comes from the Lord. But I want my son to see the joy of my relationship with God in my life. So that he begins to understand that the reason that we are thankful for the food is we are joyous. We have joy for what God has done. We are joyous in our relationship with him. We are not thankful despite. We are thankful because. And we are thankful not just for this process, but he goes on to tell us why we should be joyously thankful. Why should we be able to be joyful in our thanksgiving? He goes on to say that thanksgiving is the product of the process, not the result, not it's just the thing that just happened because, it's the product, it's what's produced in us because Jesus has qualified us through his blood to share in the inheritance of his glory, and he has rescued us from the domain of darkness. No matter where you are in the process, you should be able to give thanks to God. Your thanksgiving should be full of joy for two reasons. Number one, because you inherit him because of what Jesus did. Where once you weren't even written into the will. Do you understand that? Where once sin separated you from him, There was no glory for you in the future. There was no righteousness for you in the future. There was no peace for you in the future. There was no hope for you in the future. All of that, which is in the will of God for us through Christ Jesus, you weren't written into. But the moment you said yes to Jesus, you became an inheritor of all of that. And this is what he says, for he who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Rescued us from the domain and transferred us to the kingdom. The first thing I want to say as I'm getting ready to close, and seriously, I'm almost there. The first thing I want to say to you is this. That word, domain, is an interesting word because it's the best word that they have for the word authority. At one point, when you are not saved, you are under the authority of darkness. You need to let that sink in and sit with it for a minute. Because the people that you know and love, who do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, are under the authority of darkness. Darkness can determine for them their future. I'm going to step back for a second and just let you think. There are people in your life who need to be set free. There are people in your life, and I understand you can't make the choice for them, but you can actually be, you can definitely be a reflection of Jesus to them, bearing fruit in their lives, bearing your fruit in their lives. We have been rescued from the domain, from the dominion, from the authority of the evil one. And then it says, we've been transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Wait, I'm not dead yet. What does that mean? I understand that the kingdom of his Son, which is yet to come, is a heaven that I don't see yet. And there's this whole book of the Bible that's really difficult to understand that tells me what that heaven is going to look like. So what is Paul talking about here? He's talking about how God's kingdom has come to earth through you. We don't have to wait to inherit the things that he has set us up to inherit the other side of the grave. We don't have to wait for it. The peace that we are inheritors of, we can have now. The joy that we are supposed to inherit and will inherit then, we can have now. We have already been transferred to the beloved kingdom of his Son. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do not say the kingdom has come here or the kingdom has come there. The kingdom of God is in your midst. We should be able to give thanks no matter what the circumstance or situation, no matter where you are in this process that the Apostle Paul so eloquently lays out for us, no matter what is happening for us, we should be able to give thanks because we have been saved, because we have been liberated and freed, because we don't have to sit here in this world of suffering. We have been transported through the Spirit into the kingdom and can have the things that he has written in his will for us there now. We should be able to give thanks, not just in 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, not just when the day that we have set apart, that we have determined is the day of Thanksgiving, but we should be able to be joyous in our thanksgiving of God at all times, because that is the product of the change that is happening within us. What are you thankful for? Hopefully you're thankful for resources. Hopefully you're thankful for the blessings that you can see that God has given you. Hopefully you're thankful for the people in your life. But more than that, I hope that you will take an opportunity to reconnect to the thanksgiving that we should be involved in with joy because of what Jesus has done. And we can be thankful for that at all times. That's the thread of thanksgiving that runs through this letter. Be thankful. Be thankful because of what he did. Be thankful for your freedom. Be thankful. Father, help us to be thankful. Help us, God, to take away all of the filters that we currently have over our lives. Help us to take away, help us to remove, help us to push aside, help us to be empowered to change all of the ways that we see our lives right now, which are not, don't come from you, aren't motivated by you, aren't empowered by you. Help us to take away all of the worldly filters that we have placed on our lives so that we can see ourselves as loved we can see ourselves as saved. We can be grateful. We can be joyous about the fact that we have freedom through Christ Jesus. Help us, God, to find that thread of thanksgiving in our lives that you have woven into us that is steadfast, that thanksgiving that we can engage and enter into at all times, no matter the circumstances. Lord, I know that as Thanksgiving comes, there are people for whom that day is going to be difficult. I know for some people, this will be the first Thanksgiving without a loved one because they have passed. I know for some folks, because of issues during the year, because of broken relationships, that Thanksgiving might be lonelier than it ever has been. I know people that are disenfranchised with family, from family. I know there are folks who are going through difficult times. They are trying to figure out how to be thankful for anything. I pray, God, that your Spirit would work and move. I pray that we as your body would not just see need, but we would step into need in this season. We would use Thanksgiving as an excuse to be the people that you called us to be all the time. But if nothing else, Lord, help us to see need during this holiday and step into it. Step into it with love, step into it with relationship, and step into it with resource. I pray, God, that we would be thankful at all times for the freedom that we have and for being empowered to live a life that is different than the world says we've got to be happy. I love you, God, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here.